Hey there, everyone. This is Donna Fox. How are you this evening? Well, it is one day closer to spring, and I don't know where you live, but I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm glad to see that spring is on its way because we had rain that turned to snow, and it's been a little tricky, but it's out there, and we're happy that it's one more day closer to spring. Anyway, so we're going to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about tonight. You know, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So what's important here is for you to come up with some questions that you would like to ask about your life and about what it is that you want to have in your life. You know, I got an email from a very dear friend, and she was talking about despair. And I've got to tell you that despair that's written, that comes from a lack of trust. And, you know, I got to tell you, too, that despair moves in a very interesting way. When a person is in despair, what the definition says is there's all hope is lost, or they feel not hopeful. And so what would be important here is for us to take a look at what despair means to you. Or what hope means to you. How about that? The other piece here that's important is that you get a very clear picture about what it is you want in your life. Now, you know, it's interesting. I have some other friends, and we're all in a state of, I don't want to call it despair so much as a place of I don't know. And the reason I say the place of I don't know has to do with the uncertainty of which way to go in our lives. And so the uncertainty of which way to go in our lives is very important. It puts us in a place of I don't know. And then when we don't get the answers we want, many times we move into despair. And so I want you to just think about that. We're going to be taking questions here tonight. We're going to... we're just going to have a wonderful time. And this whole program is all about you. It's all about answering your questions about life. And so let's go ahead and give you the call-in numbers so that you can make a phone call and you can call in. Now, let me just get those for you. Let's see here. My computer. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to email me a question, you can email at info at akashicwisdom.com, same name as the show, info at akashicwisdom.com, or you can call in and ask a question at either 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 415-287-0074. So just wanted to be able to give those numbers out for you. Here's what's important for us to look at. These days, our whole life is made up of expectations. And we cannot, you know, the expectations we have of where we quote-unquote should be, where we want to be, or where we think we again should be, are based on our own expectations of ourselves. And so there, what I want you to suggest is, or want to suggest to you, is that it's very hard to have, it's impossible to be disappointed if you don't have expectations. That's the best way I want to say it. It's impossible to be disappointed if you don't have expectations. So here's what I'd like you to consider. If you feel you have let yourself down, and you feel in some way desperate or in despair, I want you to understand or ask yourself, how would it be if you were to consider yourself without expectations? We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Hello, this is Donna Fox.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a question.
Okay.
I was just wondering, just in terms of knowing whether you're on the right path, like often I don't always know what my right path is, and I have a little bit of a hard time trying to feel what that is.
Okay. And so when you're saying is you want to understand what you're right. Well, first of all, may I ask your name and where you're calling from?
Andrea from California.
Okay, Andrea from California. Welcome. Is this the first time you're listening?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So when you're talking about being on the right path, tell me about what it feels like when you know you're on the wrong path.
I probably could answer that easier if I told you about being on the right path.
Say that again?
I know what it is when it feels right.
Okay.
But then, yeah. I get confused about the bigger picture, like more in terms of why I'm here, what are my gifts. You know, I feel like I've just recently dropped everything in my life and am in a free fall. But you know, I don't feel like I don't know what my gifts are to give in terms of the bigger picture. I'm spending a lot of time in nature because that's what I'm drawn to right now.
Right.
But that's not necessarily helping anyone. You know, I don't know what my gifts are. You know, anyway, that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Well, but the other question that bears asking is, what is your desire? What, in other words, like, what are you not doing that you want to be doing?
Nothing. Except maybe. I feel like I'm happy right now, but I don't know if there's like a greater purpose why I'm here. In terms of giving the gift or doing. Yeah, like fulfilling my life purpose.
So, so the question is it okay for me to be happy doing what I'm doing, and is my happiness a part of my life purpose? Right?
Right.
So what do you suspect the answer to that is?
I hope... I hope that they're the same.
Well, so the idea is, why wouldn't they be? You see, the idea here is what we forget here, what we forget, or we try to make things more complicated than what they are.
Right.
And the reality is that not everyone can be a queen of Egypt. Although, in reality, we all are. Because every person we walk or talk with, we are impressing upon something. And your work that you're doing now is being observed and viewed by many people, Andrea. Do you realize that?
It's nice to hear you say that.
But are you aware of it?
I'm not totally aware of that, but I'm aware. It's affirming to hear you say that.
Well, you know, you have to look at the fact that you feel the question bears your need to be right and your
right.
fear around being wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's really about being a bit of they're using the word detective. And because when you have the evidence that says you're okay, what more is there? So the other piece is that you yourself, the fear of being wrong is being suggested that you neutralize that. Do you understand how to do that?
Yeah. I think it's just by not giving it any attention, maybe, or just seeing that and not giving it energy.
Well, yeah, but you have to realize that the fear of being wrong isn't yours to begin with. You learned it.
Right.
You learned to be fearful around being wrong.
Right.
Because of the criticism you endured as a child. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
And so every time you're worried about being right or being on the right path, you need to really check in to see where your happiness or your joy lies. And so what really what's really going on here? It's about setting your own barometer of your own internal wisdom and knowingness.
And that barometer is based on happiness
and joy. Yeah.
And joy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
it's really about, does it feel like truth to you? So there's going to be a lot of people listening saying, well, I'm not at all joyful, and I don't feel very happy. Well, good. That's a big red flag now, isn't it? So the idea here is, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't feel joyful, then why take any more steps towards it? Whether it be a job, a relationship, conversation or address.
I think I'm aware of that. I'm aware that that's, I think, what I've been tuning more into lately is feeling what it is exactly that makes me happy and actually doing that. And I guess what kind of either triggered it or maybe sent me a little bit in a mind direction was a lady who was, you know, she's one of these specially sort of gifted indigo children, had said to me about 2 months ago that I was on the wrong path, that I was moving sideways. So it kind of triggered a bit of a crisis about, well, you know, not wanting to waste this lifetime. And she said, you know, you're not using...
What spurred that comment?
Spurred that comment, did you say?
What created the what spurred it? What
spurred it? I was just having a a phone consult with her about just something in my life that had come up. And she, you know, she's just one of these super psychic people that just, she can feel you and read you, and that's just what she just said. That she said that I'm moving sideways.
Did that feel like truth when she said it?
It felt like I felt like at that point I'd been in a place of limbo.
Okay.
Like not knowing what direction to kind of go in. And
right.
Then shortly after that conversation with her, that was when I just stopped doing everything. I stopped doing my work because I felt like that wasn't, it was just, I was just doing it to get money. So that didn't feel right. So I stopped that. So I started like stopping things in my life that just didn't feel good and spending time in nature because that was what was, that was where my happiness was.
Right.
So yeah. But what you're saying, I mean, it's kind of affirming, I guess, what I've been feeling in terms of...
Right.
Well,
see,
just affirming that it's okay to follow your joy.
It's always okay to follow your joy because the joy is always going to get you to the right place.
Right.
You see, the other piece is that many times people feel not joyful because they're not happy with themselves, with what... what's happening in their life, and they blame outside circumstances.
Right.
But see, with you, what's happening here is that you got real clear that it's not about it, that when you stop using money as a motivator and you use love and happiness as a motivator, dollars show up.
Right.
So that comment was a good catalyst for you, wasn't it?
It was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was.
But remember that nothing stays the same. So what was true in that fleeting moment when that woman said that to you is not true today. Do you understand that?
Yes. Just because everything is changing, and perhaps mm-hmm. I've made some positive steps
right.
in the right direction.
And that's one of the things that's important with anytime you get a reading with anybody. And so, what's really important that not only yourself but other people understand is that no matter how good a psychic is, that information is only as good as the present moment.
Right.
Because everything shifts with a different choice.
And
so whatever is read at the time, it's based, whatever is seen or felt at the time is based on the choices that have been made up to that point and the choices that the mind, not the soul, not the heart, but the mind is considering. But when the soul and the heart move forward and the mind is then quieted, then the choice becomes more powerful.
Right. So what you're saying is to based on your heart feeling, That's the way to kind of negotiate your way through the mind when the mind poses different choices, just to keep following your heart.
Yes, because there will be times where the mind will logically lay something out to you, and it will not feel right.
Right. Okay.
It won't feel joyful, and it won't feel in alignment. And you will not have an explanation for it.
Right. Okay. That's good because my mind often is. It always does. It's always, I've always got choices in my mind, and that's when I get into that confusion about not knowing what to do, because it's almost impossible to work out anything with your mind. Is what I'm kind of coming to the realization is that you just cannot work it out. It just drives
right.
you into a kind of a madness. So what you're saying is is to follow your heart, and that's what's going to give you the right direction and the feeling of joy in your heart. Is that what you were saying?
I am, and what's also being said here by the master's teachers and loved ones is that when you have a decision, you have to align with not only your heart, mind, soul, but also your feelings, so what happens is let's say you have a decision to make. Logic tells you one thing, but it doesn't, quote-unquote, feel right. So what you want to move into is your heart or a space where it says, okay, what would it feel like if I were to do what my mind is telling me to do?
Right.
Okay, so that's one option. All right, now what would it feel like if I did what my heart told me to do? And these decisions cannot be based on other people's actions. They can only be based on what it feels like for your own decision. Because as soon as we base our decision on other people's actions, it's not good. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Was that your phone that did that?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. It was just a noise came in. There it is again.
Hello. Do I have another cat car or something?
Yeah, they had put me in. I had a question for the guy on meditation. I don't know if they put me to the wrong spot or what.
Okay. I think we have two people on the line here, huh?
Okay. That's fine. I think you've answered my question.
Okay. Well, I hope you keep listening to Akashic Wisdom, and if you'd like to be on an email list, please, for upcoming events, or I'm going to be coming to California in spring, so to teach a class on the Akashic Records. So if that's of interest to you, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and I'll put you, I don't email all the time, just every now and then, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Andrea. Blessings to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi there. Is there somebody else on the line here? Or did I lose that person? Okay. Well, was he for me? Well, okay, they can come back. I'm on the air. Am I still on the air? Hello? Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask that gentleman to that just... Okay, let me get it on the air.
No, wait, you are. I'm playing with you. I'm letting your audience hear me because I'm playing with you.
Okay, all right. Well, considering I can't see if I'm on the air, all I can do is hear your voice. We're doing this little dance.
I was whispering in your head.
You are whispering. I got enough people whispering in my head, you know. I got to tell you, this is funny, Don. You'll get a kick. So I'm at this doctor's office, and they were asking me all these different questions about, for physical. Do you ever hear voices? And I said, what do you mean voices? Like, they said, in your head. Have you ever heard voices in your head? And I said, you really don't want the answer to that question. Because you can't tell regular people that you hear this stuff, because they really think you're crazy.
Hey, I hear voices in my brother's head. So.
Well, then the question is, what are you doing in your brother's head, right? I mean, maybe hanging out in your brother's head, is that more fun than your own head?
Well, I love you, sweetheart. I'm going to let you go to your audience. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you. All right. No, that's okay. All right. So the gentleman that was on the air that had a question that we kind of had him and somebody else, please call back because we'd love to talk to you. And again, I'm going to mention that anybody who would like to be on the call-in show tonight, would love to get your questions. And the telephone numbers here to call in are 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 415-287-0074. Now, I also, what's interesting is that BBS Radio has an interesting thing you can do, and that is if you know somebody who doesn't have a computer and wants to listen to the show, this is specifically for Akashic Wisdom at this time, but it's basically And so that number is 712-43, hold on, caller, don't go away, 712-432-0075. And again, that's 712-432-0075. And the access code is 318-116-pound. So if that somebody doesn't have a computer and they want to listen to the show, they can do it with that telephone number. Okay, caller, hi, this is Donna. Who is this?
No, this guy's funning with, I think there's somebody funning around.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, he's funning around. Well,
yeah.
We'll just let him
somebody's
fun
having
around
a little
again.
Too much fun.
Okay, somebody's yeah. calling again. Here we go.
Well, I put him on and then he hangs up, so we won't let him do that again.
Okay, all right, that's great. Okay, we'll talk to ourselves now. That's fine. That's good. Hello. All right, so I'm going to get back to the question that we had before about despair just for a moment. And so the actual question, because my computer wasn't up when I was talking about it, the actual question is that this particular person's been feeling unsuccessful because they haven't been able to manifest a job and money. And when they went and they asked the record keepers, the master teachers and loved ones, because they understand how to work with the Akashic Records, they were directed to define the word despair. And the second part of this definition for this particular person refers to the part of her who feels like a victim and wishes to be rescued. And this is what the record keeper said. Courage born of desperation is not true. The only thing born from desperation is failure. To be successful is direct courage to faith, trust, belief. These words are antonyms of the word despair. Now, the interesting thing about the statement here that's very important is courage born of despair is not true. What's important to understand about that statement is that if you are in true despair, true desperation, it's very hard to climb out of that hole. But it is important to be able to maintain the courage so you can get to the place of faith, trust, and belief. So whatever is going on in your life that's creating a challenge, it's going to be very important for you to move into something that you can rely on, something that you can have faith in, something you can have trust in or believe in that will pull you out of that hole or at least lift you up. And it can be anything. So the idea here is for you to be able to do your own work to bring yourself out of desperation. The sad part about it is there's so many people out there waiting for somebody else to do it for them. And the reality is we have to do it ourselves. That's part of our job here. And when I say that, it's part of the plan. And so there is a core issue here around the feeling of desperation that is born of the hopelessness that was observed while you were growing up. I know it sounds like everything goes back to childhood, but the reality is it does. Everything that we see as a child, everything that we feel as a child, everything we observe as a child imprints on us. And then it's up to us to literally use those imprints that we have received to move forward in our lives. And some of them are positive, some of them are negative. And no matter what it is, it's all a learning. So you may have had parents that were that made you think, I would never do this, or I could never do that. Those experiences were important for you to understand what you didn't want. The other part of that is if you were lucky enough to have parents that did wonderful things that you want to emulate, you not only want to do what they did, but you want to do even better. So that was also a learning experience. But I've also talked to people who were imprinted with language or experiences they had as a child that they haven't let go of. That even now, I'm going to speak about one particular person, and again, this is from a learning point of view for you listening, is there is one particular person that I know of that is still falling back on the way her parents treated her and the fact that she had to leave home at the age of 16. So much so that language will now trigger her into a victim situation. And she walks as a victim, still trapped by what her parents, quote-unquote, did or said to her, or the way they treated her. And the word trapped is important, because when you allow someone else's behavior to impact your life to such an extent that it controls how you feel, what you listen to, how you react, when you allow other people's behavior to impact you to such an extent, you have trapped yourself. And you have put yourself on that treadmill like the hamster. And until you stop that treadmill and that turning cycle and say, stop, I no longer will allow my parents, my ex, whatever, whoever it was that impacted you negatively, I no longer will allow their actions, their negative actions, to impact who I am today. I choose to learn how to become an adult and to parent my inner child and to move forward as an adult in the best way I know how. So what it's up to you to really look at how you have been impacted by other people in your life, and what power are you giving them? That's really very important. You know, and we do it all the time. We allow other people to impact us, and we make the excuse that because so-and-so did something, all of a sudden we can't do something else. So all we're saying here is for you to become very clear about what is happening in your life and who is impacting your behavior. Give that a try. So if you'd like to call in and talk about that, you certainly can. We'd love to hear from you. And you do have the numbers, and if not, you want to go up to bbsradio.com and look at the numbers there. I'm on Station 2, and this is Akashic Wisdom with Donna Fox that you're listening to. All right, so today is what day is it? Boy, I don't know. It's the 6th. The 6th of March. Wow. I'm telling you, I don't understand where the year went. It's already a third of the year. It's almost gone. Now, I want to talk to you also about Brazzo. Brazzo is, that's B-R-A-C-O. B-R-A-C-O America is coming to San Diego. And he is going to be in San Diego on March 19th and 20th. I will also be there. I will be among those in the audience. So at the various gazings. What's amazing about this man is that he actually heals by gazing. And that's an amazing thing. He heals by gazing. And so I encourage you to take a look at his website. And he never speaks. He just gazes. And he uses the power of the divine as it comes through to heal him. So just like to share that with you, that's coming up in San Diego. So you can go to his website and check it out. Okay, so now let's go back to some questions. Now, again, you can email me questions at info@akashicwisdom.com. Hello, caller. This is Donna Fox.
Hi,
how are you? Hi.
This is Rebecca from San Jose.
Hi, Rebecca from San Jose.
I'm not too sure how to phrase questions. I know you can't be generic about asking questions for the Akashic Records.
Right.
So I want to know about employment, when I will be working again. I don't know how to phrase that, though.
Well, okay. So you're what you're asking for is a future question, right?
Yes.
And, okay, so let me kind of, and how, have you listened to the show before? Is this your first time?
No, I've listened, but it's been a while.
Okay. All right, so the Akashic Records, you know, there's a lot of probability or possibilities in within the Akashic Records. The idea of foretelling the future is not necessarily something the Akashic Records does because you have so many choices. So what's being asked here of you is there seems to be a discrepancy between what you truly want to do and what you're applying for. What's that
okay.
about?
I understand what they're talking about. I was just thinking, rather than trying to do something forward, I did have an experience this past week that resulted in feelings that I learned in childhood.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so maybe we'll just hop over onto that track if you want to do that.
We can do that, but the question, but don't skirt away from that question they're asking you.
Okay.
Because it's really important, Rebecca, for you to understand that if you, it's what they call it is hollow praying. And if you pray for one thing, but you know something else is going to happen, it's almost like you're asking for one thing, but really want something else. So it's very hard for the universe to bring you what you want when you're not straight or clear with yourself.
Right. Okay. I understood what that was, so...
Okay. All right. I just wanted to explain that a little bit more. Okay, so what happened this week that brought you around to this? That you want to share about? Go ahead.
Yeah. What happened was I had set up an appointment with someone to come over and help me do some stuff at my house, and this was the third time I'd set it up, and they had been here two other times, but they have been late. And the last time, not the previous time, but the time before... they were supposed to be here between 1 and 2 and showed up at 3:30. And this last time they were supposed to be here by 1 and they showed up at 2, knowing that they were going to run errands and would be here late and didn't tell me. And then asked me, is it okay if I run this errand? And I said no, and they still did it anyway. So what came up for me with the feelings was anger, that they're going to laugh at me, that I'm not worthy. It really just punched a lot of stuff that my mom used to play out. And I was adult enough not to react and immediately say something because that's harmed relationships in the past. So that's kind of the experience that I have, but I still have some residual feelings. I think the whole thing was about trying to emotionally clear this big chunk that is kind of, you know, deep-seated. We kind of clear out the top layers first.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But what's going on here, what's interesting about this particular saying one thing and doing another.
Yes.
And it's the question has comes up is what is there about this friend that made is this a friend that's doing this or was it an employee type person?
A friend.
Okay. So part of it is what's going on with the friend that they're afraid to be straight with you?
That's pretty much the way they are with everyone.
Okay. And then if, in fact, they say they're going to be there at 1 and they don't show up until 3, if that's not okay with you, then you need to share what you're... That's disrespecting your time.
Right.
And so it's not about, it's really more about standing up for being respected and then really asking them to be straight enough with you about what they truly want to do. For example, if in fact they don't want to help you, and this is a passive, aggressive way of letting you down or saying yes but not wanting to be there, you may want to look at that.
Right, right. And I have talked to them about it, and they say that they feel like they have too much to do and they're, you know, they can't get everything done. So I guess another part for me was, though, they're so good at organizing that I feel like even if I can get a little crumb or two, it's better than nothing because I haven't been able to organize my house for quite a while. I think that's my part in it.
Yeah, and then if that's the case, then if the case is that you're willing to be
treated that way.
If you're truly going to be flexible, then the next time you have this person over, okay, or ask them, you say, you ask them what time are they available. Did you do that this time? Hello?
Hi, I'm listening. Okay, sorry.
No, I asked you a question. The question was, did you ask them what time they were available?
Yes, yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I'll be there at 1 o'clock.
Between, 12 and 1, by 1 o'clock.
And then they allowed themselves to be disorganized enough to be late, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so and then you got angry at that, correct?
Yes.
You were angry at the fact that they said they were going to do one thing and did another like your mother used to do. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so what happened when they finally showed up?
They were apologetic. And then had reverted into more of a kid role for themselves about asking me questions rather than just coming in and organizing like they'd done in the past, asking me questions where I wanted stuff to go. And it's like, if I knew where stuff was, I wanted it to go, I would just set up stuff myself. You know, it's just kind of something that I've needed help with doing.
Got it. So the idea here is for whatever was going... So... The only way you're going to be able to diffuse that attitude is with acceptance.
Okay.
So, for example, for whatever reason, this is what I'm hearing, for whatever reason, that particular person needed to feel shame.
Oh.
Okay. They needed to feel ashamed. You provided the shame for them. the only way that you don't provide shame is by diffusing it. And the way you diffuse it is so when they call up and they say, hey, you know, I'm running late and I won't get there till 3. And if it's really okay and you didn't have any other plans, you say, hey, no problem. You know, I really appreciate any time you get here. It's okay with me. So if you get here by 3, that's fine.
Right.
All of a sudden, you've taken their shame away and they don't know what else to do with it. So when they come in, they're going to be more empowered.
Okay.
Or when they come in and they say, you know, I'm really sorry I'm so late and I got this and this, and you say, hey, wait a minute. I just appreciate the fact you're doing this. I think you're pretty great. I really appreciate the fact you're doing it, and I appreciate your wisdom around organizing. I'm your friend. I'm going to love you no matter who you are. That's what friendship's about, right?
Right, right.
So the idea is that you can take a tact of you're disrespecting my time and I'm going to get my back up and you're going to and yada yada yada, or you can go into I appreciate your time, you're doing me a favor, I appreciate
you. Just leave it at that, okay?
And leave it at that. You know, because if, in fact, you know they're doing that with, that's the way they operate, then you, as a person who's asking them to help you, you need to have that in your head and figure, okay, I already know that if they say 1 o'clock, they may not be here till 3. So I have to figure out that I'm going to do whatever I need to do until they get here.
Okay.
You know, because you're not going to change those people.
I got
your job
it.
Anyway.
I got it. I was thinking more in terms of all these feelings that came up for me that was, I think, what you had talked about earlier about stuff getting triggered that came from our childhood.
Exactly. And so when you want to look at that, what's important for you to notice is what got triggered was your sense of betrayal.
Okay, yes, very much.
Okay. And so you allowed that sense of betrayal that you felt when you were a kid to create a reaction for them, which helped them feel shame, and it put the kid role involved. Did you see how it's very interesting how complicated, but yet how simple it all shows up? It's like this dance, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so the only way to cut that cord, if you will, is to notice what's going on for yourself, and when they were late, since you had some time, you could have journaled your anger and noticed in the future and notice how that brings up all the stuff you did not express to your mother but wanted to.
Okay, and that will help clear those emotions.
Mm-hmm. It'll help diffuse it for you. And the other piece is that you have to look a little deeper as to what the exact motivation was for why she was unreliable.
Okay.
Do you know what those motivations are or were?
I think that it's just she wants to help people out, maybe feels obligated because we kind of did a share where I've watched her kids, and part of it was she was going to help me set up my house a little bit. So maybe not really wanting to do that, not wanting to make that a priority.
Well, there's a lot of time. You're talking about the friend now, right?
Yes.
I was talking about the motivations from your mom.
Oh. just poor upbringing on her part.
Okay. All right. No, wait. I have a couple things going on here. First of all, I just have to go back to your friend who was organizing piece.
Yeah.
When you watched your kids, there seems to what's coming forward is you have to make sure that this particular person thought it was an even trade.
Oh, she was thinking her time, like an hour and a half, was an even trade for my time that I watched her kids,
or not?
Got it.
It's like
Got
as
it.
Far as she's concerned, I'd pay a babysitter maybe, you know, $10 an hour. So, I don't know what costs are
Got
there
it.
In California,
yeah.
but so let's say, or whatever, I just say, okay, so, you know, monetary-wise, you know, I owed her $25.
Right.
But I charge $50 an hour for my organizing.
Or that's what she believes it's worth, okay.
Right. So you have to be, so when you're in a trade, you ask what's okay for her to, so you have to ask the other person, what's the value of the trade?
Okay, got it.
Because if she says yes, when she means no, she's not going to be reliable.
Okay.
And the reason she's saying yes when she means no is because she's not, she doesn't know how to express that. And yes, that's what's coming up for her. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. People have told her you could make $125 an hour organizing. Well, that's a lot of hours.
Find somebody to pay it.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is that $125 an hour, you know, if she could organize somebody for in an hour, great. And I'm not saying that organizers don't get, like, big money, but the reality is you have to start somewhere.
I got it. Okay.
And if she believes that she is worth $125 an hour, that may not be what she considers an equal trade for watching children for an hour and a half.
Right. Right. Okay.
So you got to clear that out. The other piece about your mom, okay, about why she why do you think your mom said she was going to do one thing and she didn't do it, other than bad upbringing?
Passive aggressive.
So,
she was angry at my dad a lot.
Okay, and so what did she say she was going to do for you and she didn't do it?
The big thing was, after something happened that she told me I couldn't go to, she'd say, well, nothing happened. I guess I should have let you go, like staying overnight at a friend's house.
Right. And so why didn't she want you to go to begin with?
Afraid something would happen. That was always the term. I'm afraid something will happen.
So basically, she was concerned for your safety.
She was always concerned. If something happens to you, your dad will never forgive me.
So it was the approval or thought. Oh, I got it. So here's the deal. Is that when she said stuff like that, what did you say? Do you remember? Because you had to be a teenager, right?
I don't tell me that. And I just get enraged.
Yeah, right.
Should have said that. Don't tell me that.
So the issue here has to do with her fear of your father, right?
Right.
And what was your relationship with your father?
Oh, great. We had a really good relationship.
Do you see there might be a dynamic there going on that's not comfortable for a wife?
No, I already know. It was split family. Me and my dad, my brother, my mom, so.
Yeah. So the piece is that there was... There was also more... to her saying no to you than what you actually realized.
Okay.
You get that, right?
Yeah.
Is she still on the planet?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She'll be 89 this year.
And when you were an adult, did she also continue to do stuff that she said she was going to do but didn't do?
I didn't interact with her.
So you lost contact with her or what?
I've probably only seen her about 10 times in the past, I don't know, 30 years.
And because why?
Too much. It was just too painful.
Okay. Where are you with that? Are you okay with it?
Yeah, for the most part. I just went to see her a few months ago, and she didn't want to see me. And she started acting out again like she used to when I was in high school. So I pretty much resolved myself that would be the last time that I would, you know, attempt to see her.
Have you gotten any kind of counseling on this?
Not recently.
The reason that's important is because there's a lot of... It's like what they're showing me is a whole bunch of layers here that need to be neutralized.
Okay.
And do you have kids yourself right now?
No.
Okay. Do you work with kids?
Other than babysitting my friend's kids, no.
There's stuff that you have to. There's some major work that you may want to do with the little one inside of you. As around all around anger.
Okay.
That would be helpful.
Okay.
To bring your life into balance.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. Okay. It's good to get a reality check.
Say again?
It's good to get a reality check.
Yeah, please understand, this was not at all not meant to be critical. This is being brought forward in love. Do you understand that?
Absolutely. I didn't take it that way at all.
Good, because it's really being delivered to you in a space of love, and what the master's teachers and loved ones would like you to know is that, you know, you have a huge heart. You have the capacity to love beyond anything your mom could ever believe is possible. What she did for you is allow you to know what you don't want in life.
Exactly.
And how you don't want to be. So it's the sad part about it is she's a prisoner of her own being.
Yes, yes.
And so it's really important that you open your heart in a way that is non-judgmental of her. And if you can move into forgiveness of her, you're going to free yourself and be able to experience more joy.
Right, and be more forgiving of my friends.
Absolutely. Because
okay.
When you become more forgiving and you live in a non-judgmental place, it's not about not having boundaries. It's about setting it up that you don't have to feel angry because your expectations aren't met. It's like what we were talking about in the very beginning of the program, is if you have expectations, then you get... Without expectations, you don't have to worry about being disappointed. I mean, that sounds like a very passive-aggressive way to live, but what they're really saying is that you take people for exactly who they are. You realize it's not your job to change them. You accept them for who they are in total love, and you set your own boundaries up about what you will and you won't accept. And as long as you lay that out and you're straight, then you're cool. And
right,
then you're
right.
Living a balanced life, see?
Right.
And but you have a huge heart and you're not traveling alone, and I think you already know that, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you're a wonderful being of light, sweetie Rebecca. You be well, okay?
I will, and you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye bye. So ladies and gentlemen, I really want you to hear the way the master's teachers and loved ones help you help yourself. The days of being told what to do, of having someone tell you what to do and how to be, need to be done with. We need to be able to sort our own sense of light out, if you will. And for those people in the Cleveland area or would like to come to Cleveland to learn how to access the Akashic Records, I'm going to be doing a Level 1 class on March 26th and 27th. Actually, it's going to go the evening of the 25th, a late afternoon of the 26th, and all day a good part of the day on Sunday the 27th. So if that's of interest to you, I strongly suggest that you get a hold of me. You can call me on my private number at 216-691-1233. Or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And so that's what's coming up there. Also, I'm going to be doing a Level 2 in April. And we'll, for those people who have already taken a Level 1, that means you're at Level 2. You learn how to access the records of other people, the land, and animals. So I hope that this has been a helpful program to you, for you. Next weekend, we will be talking again. Get your questions ready. You can email them ahead of time. So for now, I want to just tell you that this program is done in service to you. Your questions make the program. I so thank you all for calling in and asking your questions. And so for tonight, we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week, ladies and gentlemen. And do look into that mirror and see into the heart of the divine. Good night.